You know, guys, I love that song. Kind of makes me think. And I don't know about you, but I've often wondered from time to time throughout my childhood, even into my young adult life, what would it be like to make a difference? Perhaps you've thought about that yourself. I'm sure we've all been there at one time or another. What would it be like to be recognized for making a difference? And I'm not talking about simply getting your hand shaken for doing a good job during a shift at the nearby coffee shop. I'm talking about being recognized for making a difference in history, or even in the trajectory of mankind as we know it. Maybe it would be for conquering a medical mystery that has challenged even the brightest minds in the field today. Perhaps it would be for completing an impossible feat of nature, like sailing across the North Sea. I've been seeing a lot of videos about those guys who work as fishermen in the North Sea and do other things on those big barges. They get paid about $12,000 a month. But for the average man, it's nearly impossible. What if you discovered or invented something completely original that would contribute to the good of society? Wouldn't it be a dream come true to make the world a better place? Well, I have a challenge question for you. What if I told you that you have already done the naturally and physically impossible? Well, you could take your Bibles tonight, go to Colossians chapter 1, if you so choose, or you could just listen, whatever you're blessed to do, because in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, guys, this is what each and every person who is born again of God's Spirit has accomplished, which trumps anything in the physical world that we live in. And I mean anything. And I want you to listen to this quote by a great man of God who's been falling asleep for many years, Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf. We've read this quote quite a few times, but it's just so fantastic. "History has honored great men and women throughout time for their deeds, for their contributions to society, for the nations they have conquered, for the scientific discoveries they have made, for the contests they have won. Those achieving the highest distinction have received medals hung around their necks, parades held in their honor, buildings named after them, and recognition in halls of fame. A far greater honor remains, however, than the awards and accolades men can bestow. The highest authority decrees the greatest homage. God Almighty will confer the crowns of highest award to those who have truly distinguished themselves in his eyes when they stand before him someday. In that day, men will not be decorated for winning military battles, building empires, saving the environment, or winning ball games. Our God has reserved his esteemed tribute for those individuals who have disciplined and dedicated themselves to rightly dividing the word of truth, and who have sacrificed their lives to serve the bread of life to mankind. He also commands his people today to likewise give honor to whom honor is due." Wonderful quote by a man who was a legend for God in the Christian church, I would say. And what he's referring to is the exact point that we started out with. So I guess I'll ask you another question. What makes the difference? Well, I guess we all know at this point in our lives what that is. As a matter of fact, a few things have a tendency to do that. First off, the wonderful Word of God. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a fantastic word, isn't it? God's Word makes all the difference in the world. And if you think about it, the Word of God has all that one needs to know about how to live life, both physically and spiritually. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And here's verse 17. I love this one. This is the purpose of the Word, that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen, huh? Well, in a tad less than 2 weeks from now, we will be celebrating something that the world likes to call Easter Sunday, but realistically, we like to call it Resurrection Saturday on Sunday, because we know that Jesus was resurrected some point Saturday afternoon, and this event changed the entire trajectory of humankind as we know it today. And this was one of the things that made the difference. And as a result, we have been brought back into the presence of God and now possess the Spirit of Christ within. I want you all to just sit back and think for a moment. Think about a time when you knew that being a born-again Christian with the Spirit of Christ in you was the reality that got you through whatever that situation was. Maybe it was a relationship struggle. Maybe you were feeling discouraged because of some undesired outcome. I'll tell you right now, that happens to me all the time, and that's just because of the career path I've chosen. But the point is that with the Spirit of Christ within, we are more than conquerors. And you know, I know we kind of play around with that statement from time to time, but if you look at the modern definition of the word conqueror, you'll see that it reads to overcome and take control of a place or people by use of military force. I think about the record where David conquered Goliath and how descriptive God is in telling that record with how tall Goliath was and how powerful the Philistines were and all of these things. But to be born again of God's Spirit means to be so much more than this. And I don't think any one of us really has gotten it all figured out. We really don't understand fully what that means. But I can say this, with God, all things are possible. I want to read you guys a little something out of this little booklet that we received at the tribute weekend for Reverend Ken Petty. And it's called The Magnificent Name of Jesus Christ. And you know, guys, throughout our lives as born-again ones, we've spoken that name thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. And I'm sure that we can all agree that his name still gets sweeter every day. So I'm going to read you this little section. It's called We Were Chosen in Christ. And if you have this booklet nearby or handy and you want to read it later, it's on page 40. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God chose us in Christ. God chose us to be his children, having predestinated us into sonship by Jesus Christ to himself. Philippians chapter 2, 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just like Isaac, who was a young man, Jesus submitted himself to his father. Jesus absolutely and totally submitted to God as the burnt offering, and he became obedient to the death of the cross. That just doesn't mean he died. The death of the cross was the most humiliating, painful, and unimaginable death that there could be. Because Jesus so trusted his Father, it says, he became obedient unto the death of the cross. In verses 9 and 10 in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him in the resurrection and then the ascension, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. God took Jesus and exalted him. He said, that's the one. At his name, every knee is going to bow. You know, it doesn't say here the name of Jesus Christ. So often in the church epistles, we will see the name, we will use the name of Jesus Christ, but here it says the name of Jesus. I believe that the reason it is using the name of Jesus here is because he is the one that man rejected. He is the one who was humiliated, the one that was counted as nobody. He's the one we are all going to bow to. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll pose that question one more time. What makes the difference? Well, obviously the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ within. And a whole lot more other wonderful blessings that have been bestowed upon us because of God's grace. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. But as we move forward into the resurrection time of year, the main thing that'll make the difference for a lot of us to this day is being born again of God's Spirit. And like I mentioned, a whole lot of other wonderful stuff, because it says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So I'm going to pray to close out, and then we'll hear from our Heavenly Father, okay? So, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the reality of being born again of your Spirit, the difference you have made in our lives for calling us to be part of your family, to be your children, giving us your wonderful word, Father. So pray for these things, for each heart on the line tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.